Welcome to the Viking Horn, official podcast of the Nottingham Vikings Ball Hockey Club. You can find out more about our club on our website and on all social media. For YouTube channel viewers, you'll see the links on screen. Anyway, let's sound the Viking Horn.
Hello and welcome to what we are calling, I think, a brand new series of the original ball hockey podcast, The Viking Horn. We are outside. I've got me, Benny and Dan. Just so you know, we are social distance, obviously. Benny and Dan from the same household. I'm a little bit closer to the camera, as you can probably make out.
You are now.
I am now, yeah. just a few more inches, just to make sure.
I didn't think you were bigger than usual, Pete.
Yeah, that's all right. Matt's just put on some weight, but you never know. We've got Mike and Joel as well joining us from their lovely homes. Welcome back. So, sign off. Last time we were together doing a podcast, and especially when Benny was with us, I think Benny was going through some sort of fitness regime with Dan. So I think it's only right that we get a bit of an update on how that's going, Benny. Any news?
Yeah. It's going well. We've decided we're going to do Fat Dad versus Bin Dad. Fit Dad, wasn't it?
Fit Dad.
Okay. Fat Dad versus Fit Dad.
Oh.
We're just going to see which the instep prefers, do they prefer food or muscle?
I think Fat Dads are in at the moment.
Exactly.
That is the lot you're going for.
I am on trend.
You know what? We all turned up for training the other night, and there was Benny with the white van, and he was casually leaning against the van, eating donuts. And then he told us he was on his third one. Or he had three.
I also said, don't tell Dan.
We're telling podcast.
And there's Joel currently eating a chocolate bar as we discussed.
Is that a penguin? how's your fitness regime going, Joel? I don't know if you'd started one.
It's good. I managed to put on a couple of pounds last week. And I put a few more on this week, so it's going well.
He said at the start of lockdown he was going to lose 2 stone, so he's only got 3 to go.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Well, it's great to be back. Great to have you with us, guys. So let's get to it. We're going to start off with obviously Vikings chat. We are back to training now since the last break that we were given. Let's say. It's safe to say that I'm going to start with you, Mike, as a GM. The numbers that we've seen at training and the reaction to the training being back on has been second to none. It's been great. Just a quick word from you on that. It must be good for you as the GM to see the club growing.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. The turnout most weeks has been about 18 of us. Hopefully when we move back indoors, there'll be even more coming along. Obviously it helps with rent of the Astro court we're playing at the moment, but you know, more from Benny's perspective and the team's perspective, it's just a great get everyone back in playing together, training together, and that's going to make the biggest difference, I think, is just having all of the regulars back in, and you know, it's a social thing as well, isn't it? So I'm absolutely really pleased and impressed with everyone turning out most weeks, to be honest. And it is a Friday night, which ain't ideal, but it's been absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I'm well chuffed.
And Benny, as head coach, from your perspective, it must make your sessions a pleasure to plan and have that many people there working on wanting to play for the club. It must be good for you as well to see that.
Yeah.
More time to eat donuts.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, more time to eat donuts. It is good to have more people down. It gives us more options of things we can do at training. If you look back at what we were like as a club 2 years ago, where we'd only have 6 people training, it was quite tough to plan those sessions and develop the team to where we wanted to go. But now we're seeing in regulars around 16 to 18 people attend. It means we can start working on systems, start really working on tactics as well as to where we want to go going forward.
Yeah, spot on. So obviously with what's been going on with COVID and what have you, there's no actual... There's not an official start date of when we're going to go back to play yet. I know for a fact that BHUK, everyone involved with that, including yourself, Mike, now, are working very hard behind the scenes to get that going again. So we look forward to playing. But I think it's worth chatting about, you know, I was thinking the other day, I think I've chatted to you guys as well. Instead of going straight back into league games, I'm wondering if it'd be a good idea to sort of, you know, let's get us back into some small tournaments or even start off with one of the tournaments. Because I feel like, I don't know how you guys think about it, but I feel like everyone's just going to want to get back playing. I think if everyone can get together and play some sort of tournament, you're playing as much hockey as possible, let's say over a day or 2 days. But what do we think of that? Do you think that's an idea that the league could be considering?
I'm certain that's something that's being considered. I mean, I really honestly don't know about any tournaments being scheduled in yet or any timings. You're right, everyone's chomping at the bit to get back in and playing. There is a veterans tournament that's going to be in a couple of weeks that's being advertised online. So I'm playing in that, and I think Daryl and Kev might be. You youngsters aren't. But yeah,
a bit too young for that. Yeah,
my personal view is
I thought mine were a bit too old for that.
The geriatrics tournament. But my personal view is I think it'd be a real nice sort of bang to the start of a season to get a tournament of some sort, whether it be Fantastic Fours or whatever, and just get everyone back in, and just, you know, that would just be a really nice thing to do. But I'm sure Rob and the team are working on something and got something going on behind the scenes. So, and I suppose the other thing is we're not completely out of this COVID restrictions yet. And I guess once we're really confident that, you know, we can get back into proper play, then we can start, you know, planning things more. Definitely. Definitely with two eyes. Anyone that's watched Line of Duty.
Yeah, I'm not, but I've listened to someone. I thought I was going to pop it down there for a minute.
You're telling me that three other people that have not watched Line of Duty.
Sorry, can you say that again? I didn't quite hear.
just review Dan quickly as well. I know obviously you're not a ball hockey player as such at the moment.
Not yet.
But you are a judo fighter, and the same sort of thing appeals to you. You've not been able to play fight. It's just training at the centre. For you as well, you must be eager to get back into some sort of competition.
Yeah, for me personally, it's been 15 months since my last fight now, fighting over in Georgia. And it's been probably the biggest training block in my life. Sometimes, you know, you've been just training for nothing. You know, the games get pushed back and competition's getting pushed back. And then, you know, now dealing with a bit of an injury, you know, hopefully the pending games is going to go ahead in less than 11, 12 weeks it is now. So, you know, fingers crossed, sport, the life of sport is going to become a bit more normalised in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we all can't wait to get back into sport, a competitive sport, let's say, in some way or another pretty soon. So, so moving on, I'm going to come to you now, Benny. There's been, you decided as a coaching staff and whatever, that you're going to start grading players. This is before like a ball's been sort of dropped in anger again. Can you just give us some sort of insight on why you're doing that and what that's training you? Are you doing it from what you've seen on training or what you know about players already?
So I think the greater understanding is, first of all, we've got around 25, 26 people interested in playing for Vikings at the moment. And as we know, we can only really have a roster of 22. So it's about trying to build a team of the right players, not necessarily the best players. So I'm currently grading players on the standard things that you see for hockey players at the minute, stick handling and things like that being one of them. And then a few key attributes that I'm going to keep close to my chest because it's what I'd say was in-house secrets from my coaching team.
Like the better looking players, what you personally.
Yeah.
Your favourite.
It's about it's not about having the right players in terms of ball handling as well, but are they the sort of people that could be the face of Vikings and attract future people and really good looking athletes?
I'll see you next year then, Joel.
it's a shame to lose you, Mike.
Yeah.
We wish you well in your future endeavours.
the roster went for you this year, Mike, and that's why I give you the GM role.
So, Joel, hearing that, mate.
Why don't we go through some of the attributes and see if Joel can hit what he thinks he is?
What are we judging the players on? What are we judging the players on?
Benny. So I'm not going to say what everything I'm judging
that's
on.
Fine,
I might as well start coaching every team in the league. So there's things like what's the fitness levels like?
Okay, out of ten, Joel, fitness level
0.
Okay. Oh. Mike, what's your fitness level?
Getting there.
Pete, what's your fitness level?
At the minute, I'd give myself an 8.
Okay, out of 100, yeah.
80. If we're going out 100, I'll go 85. How can I say
I can't be? Oh, is it out of 100?
When I'm working with Dick with this guy,
is it out of 100? Yeah, still 0. Still 0.
Yeah. You see what it made me do the other day? I got through it. You know, I'm pretty proud of myself. So, yeah, I'll rate myself quite high. But there's more to come, I'll tell you.
Another one is stick handling.
Oh, where would you put yourself then, Joel? Stick handling?
Stick handling. Ugh. Out of 10, 3, 4.
That's about right.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait for coach to tell me.
Oh, come on. No,
I'm getting bored with this now. Come on, carry on. yeah, it's got better. I think for me, there's a difference between stick handling in sessions and actually stick handling during the game. It's way different. You haven't got time to think, or even like sometimes doing a flashy toe drag or something like that ain't the right thing to be doing if you're going to put your team in jeopardy or something. So I'm not going to tell you.
I think that's going to be like one massive thing as well for not just this team, but for every team in the league that has attracted, say, new players or developed, you know, other players in different fields. But you don't know how that's going to sort of transport onto an actual game day. So, like, you know, as I say, for me personally, as a judo fighter on training, I'm not the fighter I am in a tournament. Mm. You know, and there's some lads who I come up against who, you know, would absolutely eat me alive in training, but, you know, an absolutely terrible tournament day. And I think that's going to be really interesting in the next few weeks to see, especially the new lads who come down and look quite decent on a training night.
Yeah.
See how that sort of transpires over to
it. I do agree with what you're saying about the stick handling, because I'd probably rate myself quite low with stick handling, but then again, when I'm running at speed, the ball stuck to my stick, and I don't really know what I'm doing with it. It's just there, and I'm running and I'm going. And
oh, it's, okay.
Yeah, I mean, let's not give away too many secrets. But, you are right. I agree with what you're saying about. It's different in a game than what I'd do in training. That's an interesting one.
Okay, so what about the last one then? So one of the other ones is size. So how effectively do you use the size of what you are at the minute? So it doesn't matter what size you are you effective with your body size?
Who are we going to first?
We'll go Joel again.
Again, like, I'm massive, so... You know,
you want to be quite high for this ideally, then, don't you?
But then, the second training session in, Daryl absolutely went through me. So,
Mike, do you effectively use the size that you have been gifted with?
Yeah, I've been playing Saturday mornings with the veterans that Wolves have organised, and I've been learning a lot from that. Protecting the ball. Yeah, I've got a lot better at that. I'm not going to give you a grade, but I do think I'm better than that now. You're playing your cards close to your chest, so I'm going to play my... No, I don't think I'm really grade myself. I'm not really placed to. I think I've improved, though.
I can't really tell him too much, because he's technically my boss now, so I can't make him do anything.
The caveat to that, Benny, I gave you free rein. I said that as GM, I'm not going to have any influence at all on coaching, and you're within your rights to tell me.
At some point, Mike, you need to give him a rating for how well he's doing. You know,
I am. I have been. I've been watching.
That's why we're looking for another coach.
Minus one for each donut consumed.
What about yourself, Pete?
Size. I would say in the past, I haven't used it enough because I've not been, I'm not one of the bigger players on the team. But I think, again, credit to Dan here.
You're twice the human.
I'm twice the human I was probably last time I played a game of ball hockey. So, and there's been times where I have used it. Then there's times where I've not used it enough, and I've come out second best when I shouldn't have really done. But now I want to use what I've built myself as physically in the time I've been away from the ball off the court to improve that next year. So I would grade myself low currently, but then with the potential to move up. Yeah, you know, when you get the green arrow on Football Manager when you've improved at a thing after a few games and training, that's what I'm looking at.
You're getting promoted.
Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting. So we'll move on. So slightly. With the amount of players that you know you've got at your disposal now, Benny, and the amount of players that have come down to training that expressed interest in playing for the team, playing in the squad, obviously you're not going to be able to choose everyone. So how are you planning, again, you might not want to give too much away, in keeping the squad happy, you know, going through when the season starts? Because inevitably, if the same people aren't playing games, they might not be as enthusiastic about coming down or whatever. How do you keep that enthusiasm playing for the Vikings going as a unit as well, not just Benny, Mike, your GM, you know?
Yeah, I'll answer that after Benny. I've got an answer, but I'll let Benny go first.
Okay,
so it's about everyone that plays the sport is playing because they love competition. So you are going to look at your peers and the person to your left or right may be better than you or worse off than you. The person who's worse than you is coming for your space. The person who's better than you, you're going for his space. So there's that in-house competition there. It's quite a healthy competition to have. It pushes everyone further forwards. We have got a lot of players interested in playing, but we've not got a number two team. That doesn't necessarily mean that's off the cards in the future, potentially. But what it does mean is that when we select a team on a game day based on the opposition going for, those that aren't selected, their role is essentially to be as tough of an opponent as possible during training, so essentially have a training team versus game day team. All I'm going to say to the lads is you've got to earn your spot and you've got to earn to keep it once you've got it.
Fair enough. Mike, you want to say something, mate?
Yeah. I think for me, I'll be honest, there's a lot of guys already in the team that are a lot better than me, either fitter than me or got a lot more game day experience than me or positionally better than me. And that's fine. I mean, I've been working bloody hard to improve all aspects of that. And yeah, it's made me pretty determined to, you know, make a mark and try and put my case forward for getting a more permanent position in the squad. But, you know, I accept that there are still guys above and beyond me at the moment, but that's not letting me, it's not putting me off. The other thing I'd say is our intention as a club, I think we've already said, is we want to have a lot more competition presence. So whether it's F4s, whether it's nationals, and that could open up scope to having a lot more players available to, you know, play competitive games. I think it's 5-on-5 as well at a national level, isn't it, Benny?
It is, yeah.
So, but I think the other thing, the final thing I'd say is we all know that on game day, there are going to be things coming up, like whether it's holidays, whether it's if ice hockey starts up again, you're not going to always have all of the guys always available all of the time. So I think having that depth is also going to open up opportunities for guys in the team as well.
I think what's so important to mention as well is I think it's a good thing, you know, Benny as a coach, and the coaching staff are grading players individually. But I don't think that necessarily means those players are going to be picked for a team based on their individual skills, because you can forget, it's easy to forget that it's a team sport. So, for example, if one guy in defence has got a certain aspect of his game which is strong but someone else isn't, you could then potentially pick someone in defence with them on a line where they're better at another attribute that the other guy's not or the girl's not. So then that balances itself out on a line. So I don't think you know, you mentioned Mike, oh, you know, there's players on the team better than you. Well, yeah, there might be certain players on the team better at certain things than you, but then I think there's going to be things like that you're better at than other players on the team. So Benny's got, your job, Benny, is going to be looking at those. It's not necessarily for individuality, but it's like how that's going to work on a line or as a team, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's about looking at what skills everyone's got, what their flaws are, and who can complement each other. So who can fix your flaws and essentially put your flaws on the court, and in turn you pick up theirs. And that together as a unit makes you pretty tough to break down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very fair. Joel, are you seeing a spot for yourself on the line on any line at the moment? Are you hearing what we're saying so far? What's your strongest part of your game, let's say?
I don't think so at the minute, but you know, I think like a lot of us during this lockdown, you know, it's been a bit tough for everybody. You know, and myself, I'm just getting back into, you know, the routine of actually doing some exercise, to be frankly honest. But in all seriousness, I feel like I've only been to three sessions so far, and I feel like compared the third one to the first one, I'm already feeling like small, tiny improvements in myself. So I think if I can do things for my own personal sort of development, I don't see, you know, why I wouldn't be considered for this, for the side, if I carried on improving. And getting better, fitter, thinner. You know, that I don't see why I won't be able to make a claim for a spot.
I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock on Wednesday for Generate then.
Next Wednesday, yeah?
Yeah.
Got a few penguin bars to get through first.
But yeah, it's a personal journey as well as a team journey, I think, for me. Just getting back into that sort of frame of mind, yeah.
Spot on. Yeah, I think it's the best way to look at it. No one's spot is safe. You know, even myself as captain, you know, everyone's got to work hard and we'll get there. I think we've got the perfect, I'm not kissing your backside, but we've got the perfect guy. He's got the right frame of mind, but how he's going to pick his team, and, you know, he will do what's right for the squad and the club. So yeah, let's just get back to playing as soon as we can, and we'll see it all put into fruition, eh? Just another quick question. This is for everyone we've put out there. Obviously, don't want to mention it again, but I'm going to. We've not played for a long time. In that time, we've seen, as a club, we've done a lot of things to keep going, and so people not just know about the Vikings, but Borlock in general. Just going to go around the table, starting with the GM. Mike, what are you most encouraged about from lockdown started back last year to this point today in this club and how it's gone forward? What you've been most impressed about?
For me, it's the growth of the club. You know, I know it's giving Benny a bit of a headache now with the numbers, but I'd rather it be like that. I think that's been a lot, as that's been through social media presence and, you know, a real drive from the committee to just a lot bigger presence of the Vikings Ball Hockey Club as a serious ball hockey club now.
Oh. Joel.
Me?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
I'll just turn my hearing aid up. I think backing up really what Mike said, I have a big influence in what we put on our social media, and like, including the identity of the club and things like that. And I think that is attracting, as we can see at training, it's attracting, you know, some new players, you know, who've never even picked up a stick before and things like that. So I think it's a good, backing really what Mike said, the growth of the club, it's really, really positive, and it's making me want to develop myself and become part of this ever-growing team.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to add to that as well. And it's also pushing the ball hockey as a minority sport. It's getting that out there as well, and, you know, doing what we can do as a club to help with Ball Hockey UK and ball hockey in general to make that sport more, you know, more awareness about the sport.
Yeah, because there's loads of people that have, you know, maybe wanted to try it, or maybe, you know, thought about doing it but not wanted to pick up a stick, sort of thing. But yeah, I feel like what we're doing at Vikings is really opening that up to people that you know, and making them give it a try.
Yeah.
Benny, as coach?
The willingness to train. So much so that we've had two training sessions plus the additional night at January now. The lads have given up between two and three nights a week to train. Something that, because of the ongoing pandemic, it kind of presented as this gift of flex, press the reset button and go again. And it's nice to see that people want to learn and continue want to better themselves. A bit like Joel said, it's, a lot of people are on personal journeys as well as team journeys as well. It's nice to see all of that.
And Dan, you've been involved with the club now from a fitness point of view for a little while now. What have you seen from when you started working with the team or the club up to this point?
Yeah, like first of all, like obviously massive improvements from a lot of people from sort of that first session, watching Mike sweat it out in the gym on the punch bags. I think we've just hit the sort of back end of the first lockdown when we started. And then, you know, from that fitness-wise, like there's a hell of a lot moved forward improvements-wise. But also from my perspective, obviously I get the opportunity to work with a lot of different teams, being, you know, in a national governing body sport myself. I'm witnessing a lot of different NGBs and how they operate. Actually watching, similar to sort of kind of what Mike said, but like watching the team structure really coming, you know, like so much more proper over the last, probably the last few months more than anything. I think, you know, Mike's got a huge, huge part of that. You know, you should hold your head up with that one, to be fair, Mike. But, you know, even from Benny's perspective, this is his baby, and being able to go, you know, right, let's divvy this up to move it forward has been, you know, really good decision as well. So yeah, things have all been positive in the last year.
Yeah, I think from my point of view as well, I think that setting up a committee and expanding the committee was the big thing for me. You know, everyone here is part of it. So for me, that was a big turning point in the way that the club can continue to move forward. Hopefully, you know, see success. I think we've already achieved quite a lot of success off the playing surface, but up to this point, as much as we can. But now we're going to go and try and do it on the. So we look forward to the future. So moving on again. A little while ago, we did put out a little competition out there for the naming of our new mascot, which got a few laughs and you know, and thankfully, like a lot of people got in touch with some good names. I don't think there was a bad idea or a bad name sent through to us. Honestly, they're all pretty good. Laughed at a lot of them. I'm going to hand it over to Mike because he's got them there in front of him, and he's also going to announce the lucky winner. So over to you, Mike.
Right. Okay. Well, before I announce the winner, I'm going to mention a few of the suggestions. The one I've got at the top is Vicky the Viking. That was from our very own Daryl Clark, and I suppose I had a vested interest in that since my wife's name is Vicky, and I suppose I had visions of her potentially dressing up. But that's probably for a different podcast. Being an inclusive sport as well, it sounded quite good to have maybe a female person representing as well. But it would also give Dan a chance to dress up as a woman, and I don't know, maybe that might be his thing.
Why not?
That's a usual refuse to know.
We had quite a interesting. We had quite a lot from the Sheffield Knights, Andy Stafford, Steph Milicic, and they came up with quite a lot of traditional Viking names that had like a significant meaning. Now I haven't got all of the translations in front of me, but there was Eriks and Haralds and Torsons and Havars and Roldsons and lots of very traditional Norse names. Couple from Tracy Lindley, a Svend, a Signy. So a lot went down the sort of very traditional route, and Fluky as well from Dan O'Leary. But I think there was one that really stood out, and that's my mother-in-law I'm just waving to. She has completely thrown me off my train of thought now. there was one name that I think... Dan actually wrote down and a lot of us actually had this in our mind, and we couldn't really see past this name. I think it was just the perfect name for our to represent our club, really. So the winner is Dan Powell.
I'll take it.
Happy is.
And our official mascot is going to be, drum roll, Horny the Viking.
Horny.
And anyone that is watching on screen now on YouTube will see a picture of Horny the Viking. And
we will now
post this out on social media. But now the prize was a mug with a ball hockey ball in the mug. So to be honest, Dan, we'll give you the mug, but I think we'll
I'll donate the ball.
Yeah. So there you go. Hang on, I've got a cup of tea coming. Have you got any donuts with that?
Product placement there. Fabulous.
I don't know. Do we apologise that the guy, the winner, has come from the actual committee of the Vikings or the Vikings?
I can only apologise.
It was open to everyone.
Yeah. It was. No, I mean, I'm just joking, obviously, but you know, there was a lot of good names, but literally we could not see past Horny the Viking. We thought it was, as a collective unit, it just goes, no, that's just
good. It just represents you guys as a club as well.
Very horny as a team.
Horny for success.
I mean, I've got to say, one of the considerations was that we've already mentioned this before, but Dan may or may not actually dress up as this mascot. The excuse to get strip his top off and, you know, show off his guns.
I've started some growth now, mate. So solely based on, by the time the end of the league does come, you know, fully fledged.
So not only with this announcement with Horny the Viking and calling ourselves a Horny for Success, I don't know if teams are worried about playing us in games or not, but at least they'll be probably worried about getting the same change rooms as us. So there we go. Well done to Dan.
Thank you, Dan. This is freezing.
Okay, so next section, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the... My piece of paper just gone out of the window, but that's fine. I knew I should have put those sides up.
It's a reason to watch this on YouTube.
Did you see it just gust across the screen? I've finished that one, to be fair.
Completed it, mate.
So, the Elite Series. The Elite Series is now complete. The Nottingham Panthers won, to your delight, Joel. He's going to be there. The piece of paper, it's gone right into the gap in the stairs in my decking, and it's fully entertaining. Will it be there in 100 years' time for someone to dig up?
This will be historic.
Yeah. The podcast notes will be there forever.
Horny the Viking.
Horny the Viking.
Okay, where were we? Elite Series, that's it. Panthers won. Great for us Panthers fans, not so much for you, Joel. Question I'll ask, I'm going to go to you first, Mike, since you paid the money to watch every game, I think it was. Was it a success?
Me personally, I loved it. It was you know, great to have some domestic hockey. I mean, compared to being there and watching it in the crowd, sure, it was a million miles away from that. But I've been watching NHL, I've been following HC Pustertal because of British presence, but to actually have some domestic hockey and follow the Panthers again, for me, it was great. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought the quality was good. I know there was a few teething problems at the start with, you know, getting people actually logged on and stuff, but I thought it was really good. I mean, I've got to be honest, David Sims and, you know, the very sort of biased Steelers commentary, what it is, and I didn't expect anything less. And actually, even that I found quite funny because he was quite blatantly trying to wind the Panthers up. So that was fine. So, yeah, it was good.
First build that on that mic with David Sims.
I didn't hear the question, mate. Sorry.
Right, with David Sims, I've not mentioned it yet. But, but what I was going to ask was, so does that not add a little bit to... does he not know what he's doing? Like, do you know what I mean? So does that not add to...
Totally.
I don't mind it. I see it online and I think it's great. I don't think take it too seriously.
He's a salesman through and through, and I mean, he's trying to sell ticket. Trying to sell interest in the games, and when it's the Panthers versus Steelers, you can't knock him for trying to promote it. Like I said, a lot of it, I'm sure, is tongue in cheek. And he must get a lot of delight in winding a lot of the Panthers fan base up. My only particular memory is I was so pissed in one of the finals days. I came back in the building and he was stood there, and I went up to him in my Panthers gear, shook his hand and walked off. And he was just stood there, his hand held out, looking as if to say, who the hell was that? I couldn't even walk straight that day. But, he ain't my cup of tea, but it adds something to it for me. I think it makes
he's
it
a Steelers good. Legend.
Yeah, I can get that. I get that. My wife can't stand him, but it is what it is.
I take him with a pinch of salt. I think he does his job of promoting the sport as quite well. He comes across a little annoying times, but I think he does what he's there to do. If I was following my team, I don't know if I could stay impartial. I'll hold my hands up. I don't know if I could.
No, and I don't think some of the other commentaries do either. But I think they're more biased than any other of the commentary teams. And I love Lacko's response when they said, well, obviously we're Steelers, we can't wish you luck. And he just took Lacko, turned around and said, don't need it.
Well, exactly. And you know what? The Panthers did the only thing you can do is go out there and win the tournament. And then it's like no one can say anything then. And I was a little bit frustrated because from the off, I'm with you, I thought it was a great idea. I didn't pay for any games. I didn't watch any of the games based on time, okay, and commitment to other things. But I've seen so many people complaining on social media about it. You know, you've not had competitive games of any sort for over a year. And yet the league and people put these things together. It'd been great to have more teams in it, but logistically it wasn't possible. So you have that four team and then you have the draft so players can come in and play. I think you just take what you're given. And I think everyone who's in charge of building that tournament up and putting it on should be given a huge amount of credit. Obviously, there's arguments of the standard of the play, which, again, I didn't watch much of the games, but only people that watched could say, yeah. So, but too much complaining. You know, did it mean anything to win the tournament? Well, it means anything to win anything. You don't know when. The point I made on social media at the time was you don't know when you're going to win your next trophy. You don't know. It doesn't matter. You know whether there's going to be four teams in it, 14 teams in it. You can only play what's put in front of you. And as a fan of a team, you know. You take that win and the tournament, and then people complaining about the commentary standards and stuff like that. You get over yourselves, you know what I mean? You've got hockey there. You've got hockey on. You've not watched hockey for ages. Because not everyone can watch European hockey or they sign up to watch the NHL. It's your home hockey. It's in your country that you follow when you go and watch the game. So we watch it or don't, but don't complain. Like just crack on doing what you need to do.
Pete's frothing at the mouth.
Yeah.
I think he makes a good point though, because especially with the times that we're in, you don't know when you're going to be able to play for your next trophy. So
yeah,
you know. So I'm with you on that one.
From a Steelers point of view, Joel. From a Steelers point of view, I mean, where were you at? You know, I looked.
To be honest,
didn't they?
I've lived in Nottingham for the last 5 years, so I very rarely get to a Steelers game anyway. But I used to be a season ticket holder, so I love going to games. And I paid for the first Steelers.
And it tailed off into nothingness like the challenge in the final.
Come back when you're ready, Joel. But Benny, you know, if for example, when we get back to playing ball hockey, if there's a tournament put on with three or four teams in it, for whatever reason, you're going to go out there to win it, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know obviously Panthers finished fourth, but then in the standings, then went on to win it overall. We had a bit of a chat about that.
It's like they were charging. Got to be honest.
It's
a miracle.
Right, it's back. There we go.
Back.
Hang on, Ben. Benny, you carry on.
So, we were saying this, it's a bit like that guy in the WhatsApp group who sits there,
waits for something to be organised.
Yeah.
And then turns up and says it's shit.
Has an opinion at the end.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it looks. But you know what?
That's what Vikings did. They had a little rest. They just played it cool. Oh, look, that was fourth. Let's start playing now and then what it.
Yeah. I think
Dan, you're opposing of this theory.
You know what, I'm completely on the fence because I'm about to launch a Liverpool ice hockey team. It's not yet happened, but I don't get the system. I think it's amazing that you guys, you know, got to watch some, you know, I missed football at the beginning. I hated football not being on at the weekends, and then, you know, when it was on, it was like, oh my god, it's Reading versus Norwich, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's just good to watch, and I didn't moan about it, but I also think the system was a little bit, I don't know if that's how you play every season or what, but it's just a bit like, hang on, I all I heard was every week when I was seeing the lads, oh yeah, Nottingham lost again. Oh, they just done this. And then I see a social media post about they've won the bloody cup. I was like, hang on a minute. Yeah, it confused me a tad.
It's still learning the game, I think.
Is it a game we'll
have to
learn?
We'll have to explain the playoff structure to him this season. He's going to come to a few games over the lads go. So we'll teach him.
Joel's froze.
Joel is, as you can see on YouTube, is froze. Oh, he's back now.
Is he back now?
The computer is down. That's fine, it'll be fine.
Definitely worth a watch.
It's definitely worth watching the video now. I know if Mike's froze or he's just can't get out of that face. Okay.
This is probably the most dramatic podcast we've ever done.
Joel's now disappeared. He's gone.
It's blowing down.
We've had paper flying everywhere.
Okay, I feel like we need to get this over and done with pretty soon, otherwise the chaos will ensue. So, Mike, you've got a quick update on the NHL sweepstakes.
Yeah, I have. I'll do it quickly. Hang on.
While you're doing this, I might rescue the gazebo. Pegs don't work very well, do they?
Right. Okay, so we were going to award a booby prize for every team that finished bottom of the division. You're not bothered now. You're just watching this gazebo being put up, aren't you?
There we go. Right. Yeah, back in the room.
Yeah.
Go on then, Mike. Who have we got in the booby positions at the moment?
Right, so the last place has been awarded if they were drawn on points to a goal difference. So Vancouver Canucks, Jamie Parker.
Oh.
Anaheim Ducks. It's not Pete, it is Walt.
I feel your pain, Walt.
Yeah. And Walt's actual team, Buffalo Sabres, which is Ty.
Did you get two moves?
No. Well, that one's going to go to Ty. So another prize for Ty's trophy cabinet.
Oh.
And Columbus Blue Jackets, just with a pretty sterling finish from the Red Wings, and that goes to Paul Kellis.
Oh, here we got it.
Who have we got up the other end then, Mike? Who's doing well?
Do you know what? In the last month, I've been watching more of the domestic stuff than I have NHL.
Well, let me just tell you, it's Washington Capitals. So thank you very much.
Right. I've been watching Arizona because my wife follows them and they've thrown it away. But yeah, I'll probably get back into it again. But we've got GB games coming up in a couple of weeks, haven't we? So
we have indeed. We look forward to those.
Yeah.
How Calgary getting on?
They've never been the same team since McGimlin left.
you are spot on with that, actually. Yeah. That probably happened.
if you want to push me for a pick of who's going to win, I'm going to go for Canes.
Oh, Harry Kane's team.
Brilliant.
Harry Kane.
We're going to go. So those mugs are pretty decided now, aren't they? So enjoy the mugs. We'll get them out to you.
I think there's probably a couple of games left, but I know it was the last Red Wings and whatever game last night. So I think we're nearly there. Yeah.
Brilliant. Over to you, Dan. So now, since we're Rivers, we've got a lot has happened with Generate, both with the Vikings and in general. Do you want to give us a bit of an update on that?
Yeah, just a quick one. I suppose we ran a bit of a to celebrate coming out of the first locking of restrictions. We celebrated with a bit of a day out, running a bit of a fun day for all kids and adults of Leicester to come down and join us, doing a few fitness challenges, which the Vikings came and supported as well, which I was very thankful for. We had quite a few representatives on the day come and help out and volunteer for the day. That was great. Inside the gym's open to the kids now. Kids are going really well. We've had a load of new faces and a load of old ones as well, which have been really fun. From a Vikings point of view, we started with a bit of outdoor training and that's developed on as well. So it's and we've had a couple of new faces from them and we're hoping for a few more in the next few weeks to try and get them fours up to fives and sixes.
Spot on. Yeah, brilliant. That is literally all about got time for now. Before we go, I just want to give a little shout out to a couple of other ball hockey podcasts which started quite recently. We've got to, got the Dropping Balls podcast, which is based up in Scotland. Listen to it. It's spot on. They've had some good guests on so far. Definitely go out and give that a listen. Sign up to it. That your support will be massively appreciated by them. And there's also ClickCast, which is a podcast ran by the Northeast Deck Stars, as far as I'm aware. Not actually had a chance to listen to that one yet, but I definitely will get around to doing so. But again, sign up to it, give it a listen, support Ball Hockey. They're doing it for you guys. So yeah, please give it a listen or watch if they're available on YouTube as well. As for us, it's been great to be back. I think we can all agree. We've just about got through it. Our makeshift gazebo studio
has
gone through it. Thank you very much for watching or listening. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Castbox, Spotify, whatever. Great to be back. We want to be back playing again soon. Take care of yourselves. See you soon. Bye-bye.